Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, my partner in crime, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Jonathan. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. I'm a little happy. You know why?
Oh, you got it, man. Hey, this is the day we've all been waiting for since February.
It's the male holiday.
You got it.
It's football season. It's here.
Yep. Yeah, hey, I'm hyped. I am hyped.
You and millions other.
It's the one season, I think, that, you almost begin anticipating it the day after the Super Bowl.
You know what? I definitely do. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you can't wait. I mean, it's like Super Bowl comes next day. You're sitting there going, okay, what about next season?
Same thing after hockey season.
So,
the last game of the Stanley Cup Finals to play. I can't wait until the next season.
And here we are. It's September, and we've got it coming tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a good one tonight. But before we talk football, we have to talk hockey.
Yeah.
The mess that the NHL is in right now, and some really interesting news came out today from RDS reporter Renard Lavoie, who is a very trusted person from RDS. We deal with him a lot over at Ranger Nation, very nice man. And he sent out a couple of tweets today on his Twitter account, basically saying that the league is losing money, and not just a little bit of money, it's losing a lot of money. He's saying that some sources told him that they have lost over $240 million over the last two seasons.
Right.
And this is just ridiculous. Did you read anything about this today at all, Mike?
Yeah, I did. I checked out the article that was over on Yahoo. And, my initial response when you brought this to my attention this morning, I said, well, that kind of rechanges or kind of makes you rethink the whole, CBA negotiations. You know, maybe, in fact, the NHL – maybe they've got a claim here. You know, maybe there's something to this. I mean, if they're losing $120 million a year, maybe that kind of throws things back over onto the NHL side from the standpoint of a fan, a little bit in my mind. But then I took a look at this article, and this article was very, very dismissive. The one that I took a look at on Yahoo, which was put up there by Ryan Lambert.
Yep, from our good friends over at Puck Daddy.
You got it. And it very dismissive, saying, hey, look, if in fact this is truly the case, why wasn't this brought to, the attention of everybody way back in June when the first CBA proposal was put forth?
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure how to take this one. You know, I find it difficult to believe that the NHL would outright lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this, like I said, this article is makes you pause for a moment.
Yeah.
If it's true, then there might be something to it. If it's a complete falsehood, that's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, well, the great thing is that the guys over at Puck Daddy, whether it be Greg or Ryan, they're spot on with all their information that they usually have, and, they're basically one of the most trusted sources out there for hockey. And what they write is, from the Levitt Report, based on data from the 2002-03 season, there is an extra, teams are spending $1.52 billion on things that are not covered by hockey-related revenues.
Right.
So now, where is all of this money going to for each team?
Well, my question to you was, what did you make of this particular article? Because obviously you took a look at it as well.
Yeah.
Are you as quickly dismissive of it, perhaps, as Lambert was here?
No, I mean, I wouldn't even say that he really dismissed it. More so is that, where the hell is all this money going to? It's a simple question. It's a very good question, especially since they're losing so much money. It's hard to really speculate on what's going on without, knowing, the truth from both sides of the table.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The first thing that I thought about is, franchises like the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Phoenix Coyotes and maybe even the New York Islanders is, you know, are these teams just sucking money out to the point where, you know, they're basically going to be extinct eventually?
Absolutely. Good point. And it's been brought up before. I mean, I think that was part and parcel of what the NHLPA's initial counter proposal was. Again, we go back to, and you and I have discussed this right here on this show, where I kind of felt that what the NHLPA was trying to do was firm up some of those weak markets, like Phoenix, like Columbus, the Islanders and the Jersey Devils.
Mm-hmm.
As this thing continues to go forward, it's just getting more and more obviously contentious.
Yeah.
One of the things that Lambert pointed out, I mean, and he said, it's almost a foregone conclusion, we are looking at a lockout.
Yes. Oh, it's, you know what, it's more certain today than it was just a couple of days ago.
I would agree.
Yeah, I really don't see them coming back from this, especially with these reports now, you know. And like we spoke about just a couple episodes ago, we thought the new CBA proposal from the owners was pretty spot on, and that the Players Association was, you know, it was pretty next to what they really wanted, and, you know, something we thought that they could work out. But with all this new news coming out, I mean, you know, this might be the smoking gun that we've been looking for.
Again, if it's legitimate. Now, if it's not, then you got to wonder whether the NHL is bargaining in good faith.
You know what? it's sad. And you know what? He makes a really good point. In one of the paragraphs he wrote, he goes, "How do they say with a straight face that the Ilya Kovalchuk contract is to blink for this plunging lockout when they're paying twice as much as they did less than a decade ago to operate a team?" So, as he said, they're basically paying more to keep the lights on than they are paying their players to actually play the game of hockey.
Right. Right. Now, would that surprise anybody? I don't know. Maybe it's true.
It could be.
Yeah.
I honestly think it is. You know, like I said, between RDS and you know, even Puck Daddy reporting this now they're not really reporting this. RDS basically threw out the source and they're just, you know, writing their story around it. You know, they're doing their job. But the guy from RDS who's putting this on, you know, this is a guy who has some credibility.
Look, we know it's not true when you start talking about markets like Boston
mm-hmm.
or the Rangers or the Philadelphia Flyers. It's not true in those markets. However, as you pointed out, when you start getting into some of those smaller markets, which perhaps are not selling out their arenas, and we know they're not, then, in fact, it's very possible. Now, cumulatively, could that be having an adverse effect? Obviously, it's going to.
And listen, Phoenix Coyotes is a pure example.
Yep.
I mean, what a season they put through last year, and they went pretty deep into the playoffs.
Yep.
And they still couldn't sell out.
Yep.
What the hell kind is that? You know, what kind of fans is that in Phoenix? Is there even a fan base there anymore? Probably not. I mean, there's probably some fans, like there are some Islanders fans left, but no matter how good or bad they do, they still can't fill out all their seats.
Right. And you... You know, there was an article way back, I guess, well, before even the first CBA proposal was put forth by the NHL. I forget who the analyst was, but he said, look, let's get it straight. The NHL, if they want to stay viable, they have got to start putting teams in places in Canada
yeah.
where you know you've got a natural fan base.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I remember, like I said, I've been a hockey fan going back to the early 70s.
Yes.
And to see the diminishment of Canadian presence in the NHL, I think it's a crime. It's absolutely
really
a
is.
Crime.
It really is.
And so really, when it comes right down to it, you've got to get the teams there. I mean, seriously, Phoenix, come on. Let's get it. I mean, you
well,
know,
not
it
even,
doesn't
even
make sense.
There's still more Hartford Whalers fans
absolutely.
Than there are Phoenix Coyotes fans.
Sure.
They're still selling merchandise. People are still walking around Hartford with Whalers jerseys on, and they're still hoping that someday another team will be brought there.
Because there was a history
because
with
there was
Hartford.
A loyal hockey fan base
exactly.
in Hartford, and they loved their team.
Exactly.
The same way in Quebec. It was a crime to take teams out of Quebec. It was a crime to take the team out of Hartford. And then they put them in Atlanta, and they put them in Phoenix.
Well, and what team did really well this year? How about Winnipeg?
Yeah. Listen, you know what? The fans wanted the Jets back for years. Hell, I'm not even a Jets fan, and I wanted them back.
Absolutely.
You know, come on. I mean, it was just a crime to take these teams out of those cities. I don't care what the logic was for around it. It was a crime.
See, I'm an old-time hockey guy, and whenever you start talking
old-time
Hartford,
hockey.
You start talking Hartford, you start talking Winnipeg. Hey, I'm right with it, you know. Columbus, come on, cut me a break.
Yeah. It's time to put the foil on.
The joke.
Old time hockey.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm not there with
it. You know? But you know what? It really is a crime. And I hate to say it, but if they want to spin things, you know, back to where they used to be, put a team back in Quebec.
Absolutely.
Put another team in Canada. Find another city. Put another team in Canada. I know the travel time sucks for the North American, you know, for the players from the United States coming in and the teams in the U.S., but they have to do it.
I agree.
There's really no other answer for it. It's, you know what, you got to get rid of these franchises that just aren't bringing in revenue. You know, they're spending more than they're bringing in, and eventually it's going to take the NHL down.
In the meantime, I think we got to hope that maybe we see a little bit of ice action by maybe, what, Thanksgiving?
Listen, if there's no hockey by the beginning of January, there's going to be no hockey at all this season.
Oh, I agree.
And right now, I just, you know, I don't see it happening, you know, especially with this new stuff coming out.
Yep.
You know, there's just a lot written around it. You know, I mean, they're losing a significant amount of money, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that's a big piece of the pie that they're actually making. And I hate to say it, but they're not making as much as any of the other leagues. So $240 million for a league like that is just it's bad.
You know, though, what was the number that they – 3.3 billion was the revenues last year?
Something like that, yeah.
So, you know, I'd have to get a calculator out, but when you start doing the percentage, $120 million maybe they lost on a $3.3 billion revenue-generating industry?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not that –
that's the breakdown from on the forecheck. So that's what they wrote down, and you know that's what they broke down. So,
well, listen, hey,
real numbers, but it's still a significant amount.
How about old time hockey fans? They want to chime in. They got a number, right, John?
347-237-5373. If you're disgusted with the NHL, with the NHLPA, give us a call. Let us know.
If you're an old time hockey fan, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, let's put the foil on and kick some ass.
Aha.
You know, come on.
I'm loving it. Elbows high.
Elbows high, exactly.
Elbows high in negotiations. Let's get a CBA.
Would be nice. We both want it. Mm-hmm. So does everybody else. But I don't know. Doesn't look it. I mean, they haven't spoken in days, so.
No, and there's no talks scheduled.
No, which is really sad. You know, they're just slapping the fans in the face left and right.
It almost seems a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it's just would be the third lockout in 16 years for the National Hockey League. It's just disgusting.
Bettman's got to do some answering.
Yeah, he does. He really does. But you know what? Not just Bettman. A lot of other people have to do some answering as well. Owners, players, Donald Fair. You know what? They're all going to be held accountable for this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's one.
All right.
And you know what? Let's switch it over to Happy Talk. It's football.
You got it.
Over at Fan Junkies, we have some great things going on. Jeff Parrini, the Shark, has brought Beat the Shark over to Fan Junkies. And this season, he's actually playing the lovely ladies of the Lingerie Football League. We have Kim Anderson and Heather Furr. Oh, and we have Brianna Schultz from the Chicago Bliss. She was a late add-in last night. I almost forgot her.
That's right.
Jamie Jacobson and Angel Chiller from the Green Bay Chill. And we actually have four athletes from the new NFL Canada, which is pretty cool. We have, three. We have Roxy Rowe from the Toronto Triumph. We have Stevie Schnorr from the BC Angels. And we have, let me see, who else we have? Sarah Brady. From
all
the
right.
Angels as well, and they're all they all sent in their picks, and it'll actually be on Fan Junkies right after the show.
I'm looking forward to looking that over. That's going to be cool.
You can see all of their picks as well as the Sharks, and it's going to be fun. You know, it's week one, just the beginning of this.
What do you got? Nine, you say? Did you have nine?
We had nine. One had to drop out at the last minute, so we have eight athletes taking.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and these girls are really into it. And who knows, maybe next year we'll have 17.
Yeah, there you go.
It would be great. It's a fun game, and jump on Fan Junkies at www.fanjunkies.net later on today, and you can see these beautiful, amazing athletes taking on the Shark.
I'll be tracking it myself.
But because that's happening, we have to do our own little NFL Pick'em League here, Mike.
Absolutely, Jonathan.
You versus me.
We're going to keep track all season long, right?
Exactly. All season long, every Wednesday, you and me, we're going to battle it out head-to-head.
I love it.
All right, so I'm going to start throwing out some games at you, and I want you to tell me who do you think is going to win, and then I'll follow up with my own pick.
Starting this
game with the arch rivals, Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants. Who do you
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan. That's a tough one for me to pick.
You want a tie, don't you?
I don't want either one of them to win. But being an old timer myself, I hate the Cowboys. But I pick with my head.
Yeah.
And the Giants are a 3.5-point favorite. I'm picking the Giants on this one.
Absolutely, I'm going with you on that. I am picking the Giants as well. So if we both win or lose, we're going to be tied. So that sucks, but thankfully there's a lot more games coming up.
You got it.
And we're going to have to go with my favorite, New York Jets, versus actually a team that made some pretty good strides this offseason, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and they had a good opening of their season last year. In fact, there was a lot of talk about Buffalo at the very beginning of the season for, a good 6 weeks or so. They really looked like a team that possibly could have done something over there in the East.
Until Ryan Fitzpatrick got his contract and said, what the hell, I'm making money, why do I have to play?
I hope that's not the case. I've got him on one of my fantasy teams.
Me too.
the Jets are a 3-point favorite. Now, I'm reading today, just this morning, Rex Ryan says, oh, listen, absolutely, you're going to see the Wildcat from us in the Buffalo game. Jets are a 3-point favorite. I'm going to pick the Jets. I'll tell you, this was a tough one, but I'm going to pick the Jets on it.
Yeah, of course I'm going for the Jets. Even if they were the underdogs, I'm still going for the Jets. I can't pick against my team. That's ridiculous.
Well, you can. And I will pick against my team, trust me.
No, listen, if I had money down on it, trust me, I would. But I don't have money, so I'm not going to pick against them. I'll take that loss if it happens. But anyway, Indianapolis Colts versus the Chicago Bears.
This is another one that's rather interesting, in my opinion. This is at Chicago. Chicago is a 9.5-point favorite. I think the line is a little high.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what Luck is going to do yet. That's going to be the whole key to it. I think Luck's going to have a very good season, but in the opener, I'm going with Chicago, but I'm not sure if they cover the line.
Yeah. I'm actually going with Chicago as well. Andrew Luck, meet Julius Peppers.
Yep.
And it's going to hurt real bad. It's not college football no more, Luck. But let's go over to your favorites now. So the Eagles versus the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and we're at Cleveland. Eagles are favored in this one by 8.5. Again, that's, to me, I think the spread is a little high on it.
Very high, I think, on that one.
But I'm picking Philadelphia. Cleveland isn't a very good team.
No.
Philadelphia wins the game. I don't know if they cover the spread.
Yeah, Cleveland's going to be a lot better than they were last season.
We'll see. We'll see on that one.
Eagles are going to kill them tonight. I don't think it's going to be, with the 3-touchdown win, but I think they'll at least win by 2 touchdowns tonight.
Okay. All right,
so we'll write that down.
I think it might be a little bit closer than that, but all right.
But let's go to a game that I'm actually looking forward to watching this weekend, the St. Louis Rams versus the Detroit Lions.
Let me see what we got here. Yeah. All right, that game is at Detroit, and you might be right. This could be an interesting game. Detroit's favored by 7 in this one. St. Louis is kind of I hate to use the word wild card. They're kind of a big question mark, huh?
Well, you know what? If Amendola is completely healthy, Bradford stays healthy, I think they'll do pretty good. But then again, I forgot, Marty Schottenheimer is their offensive coordinator.
Well, you got Jeff Fisher over there as the new head coach.
Jeff Fisher, I just don't like Schottenheimer. I don't care who your coach is. If you got a guy like Schottenheimer calling your offensive plays, you ain't going nowhere.
I'm a big Matt Stafford fan. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm picking Detroit, and I'll take the line.
Man, I'm picking Detroit, too. What's going on with you, man? Stop taking my picks. All right, New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans.
No-brainer. This is a no-brainer. This is at Tennessee, but I'm taking New England.
Really? I'm taking Tennessee.
I'm surprised the line is as low as it is, actually. It's 5.5 in New England's favor. Frankly, I think it should be higher. Look for that score to be higher than that.
I'm going with Tennessee. You know why?
Well, we got a difference. I love it.
Now, I'm doing it despite Brandon.
Look,
Brandon, if you're listening.
He's listening.
Tennessee's going to kill you, man.
Oh.
All right, Atlanta Falcons versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. Atlanta's favored by 3.
I think that should be higher, though.
Okay, well, we're going to differ. This is I'm picking an upset on this one. I'm going with KC on it.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Well, I think Atlanta is an overrated team, personally. I think they've been overrated for the past 2 seasons.
They might be overrated, but they have one of the most underrated players in the game in Michael Turner, and I think the Chiefs don't have an answer for him.
Well, I'm taking KC. So we got a difference.
Okay, Jaguars, Vikings.
Jaguars, Vikings. Where the heck? Okay. Oh, well. Okay. Vikings are favored by 3.5. I'm going with the underdog on this one again. I have no confidence in Minnesota whatsoever. None.
Yep. Absolutely. Same here. I'm actually going with Jaguars as well. Blaine Gabbert looked really good last year, and I think he's going to have a much better season this year. MJD ended his holdout, so he'll be there. I think the Jaguars can pull this off.
Yep. Yep.
All right, let's see. What else we got? Redskins, Saints.
Let's see. Let me find that one here. Why am I not? I'm looking down my list real quick. Why am I having trouble with this one?
Come on.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. New Orleans is favored by 7.
Yeah.
I don't like the line. Again, though, we've got a situation here like we do over in Indianapolis. We're not quite sure. Many of us have not really seen RG3.
Yeah.
Yet, and what he's going to be capable of doing. I don't like the line New Orleans wins. I'll pick New Orleans to win it, but those of you that play the lines, you might want to take Washington. That's my personal opinion.
Picking New Orleans, still don't know what RG3 can do, but don't like their receiving corps as well. So he's going to have to do a lot of running, I think, in order to get something going. And I don't know, no matter what, without Vilma, without some of those other players, I still think the Saints D is a little bit better than the Redskins offense.
All right.
Go with them. All right. Dolphins, Texans, and Texans are favored by 12.
Yeah, 12.5 I got. And take the Texans and take the 12.5.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying another word on that one.
Yep. Healthy Matt Schaub, healthy Arian Foster. Hopefully Andre Johnson can play and be healthy. They're going to win it big.
Good defense.
Very good defense. I mean, they lost Mario Williams, but they're still a great defense. I take Texans.
Yep.
49ers, Packers, which is going to be a phenomenal game.
You're absolutely right, and I had a little trouble even taking a look at this one. I'm going to give it to Green Bay because they're at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 5. Take Green Bay.
Wow. All right. I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think this is the year their defense is really going to show what they're all about.
Oh, wow. You got 49ers going into Lambeau.
Lambeau and winning that first game of the season. I just have a feeling San Francisco is going to have a special season this year.
Home opener.
Ooh. All right, let's go.
I had to put some money on that one, dude.
I wish I should. I wish I had the money to put on it. All right, Seahawks, Cardinals. By 3.
Yeah, Seahawks, I'm not impressed. I'm going with Arizona on this one.
Okay.
You know, I'm a little bit concerned. Right? I'm not sure, you know, what we're looking at from the quarterback, but I don't think it's going to matter.
No.
I'm going to take the Cardinals on this one.
I'm going to take Seattle. I think they have a little bit of a better team. Love Larry Fitzgerald. I think their quarterback situation is a little bit better in Arizona. You know what? Marshawn Lynch, healthy. He's going to have another great season. So I'll go with Seattle.
You got it.
Panthers and Buccaneers.
Yeah, this line is 2.5 Carolina. Should be higher, in my opinion. Taking Carolina.
Yeah, I'm taking Tampa Bay. I don't think the line is high enough. And about the Panthers, listen, if the Panthers utilize Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams the right way, now they got Mike Tolbert, which, you know, you're going to have to balance these three good running backs. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? I have a feeling Josh Freeman's going to have a nice year. And remember, he's got Vincent Jackson he's now throwing to.
This is getting interesting now.
Yeah, he's got himself a good wide receiver finally.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. My hatred for the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos.
I got to tell you, I spent a good 45 minutes looking at this game. Denver is favored by 1.5, but Jonathan, that's a Pittsburgh line.
Yeah.
And it's at Denver. However, I'm going to tell you right now, I got to go with Denver on this one. I think it is going to be close.
It's going to be close. Unfortunately for Peyton Manning, his first game as a Bronco is going to come against some of the filthiest defensive players in the league and guys that look to hurt people. I feel bad for him, but you know what? I got to go for Peyton. So I'm definitely picking the Broncos.
Yep.
But we're going to go over to Monday night now, which is two games that I'm shocked for week one they're going to have for Monday night football. The Cincinnati Bengals versus the Baltimore Ravens. Mike, who do you got?
No-brainer. This is a no-brainer. Baltimore's favored by 6. Pick them and take the numbers.
I'm sorry, but Baltimore should be favored a little higher than that.
I agree.
You know, come on. I mean, listen, I like Andy Dalton. I like some of the players the Bengals have, but come on, you know.
We'll get into
Baltimore's defense is still really good.
We'll get into Andy Dalton as we go.
All right, so we both got the Ravens there. Last game of week one, the San Diego Chargers versus the Oakland Raiders.
What a strange game this one is. You got Oakland favored by one. Now, some would say that's a Charger line. Listen, if you've got a healthy Darren McFadden, you got to go with Oakland on this one.
Absolutely.
And that's where I'm going.
Absolutely. I love Phillip Rivers. Unfortunately, without Vincent Jackson, I really don't think there's anybody to throw him. He's got Malcolm Ford. He's still got Antonio Gates. But I still think they're missing that running back that they truly need.
Well, let me make my predict on Phil Rivers. I'm going to tell you right now, if this guy doesn't start showing something this year, look for him to be finding a different team next year.
Well, let me tell you this, and here's my bold prediction. Are you ready for this?
Go.
If Mark Sanchez is out of New York by next season, as will Tim Tebow, I think Phillip Rivers will be the next Jets starting quarterback.
Might be a good move.
I think it's a phenomenal move.
I love Sanchez,
and I hate to tell you this, but I think he had a great preseason. His accuracy was so much better. Unfortunately, the wide receivers were dropping every pass that he was hitting in their chest. I think this season, if something bad happens, it's not going to be on Sanchez this time. And I'm sorry, but first two seasons, he played damn good for a rookie and a sophomore.
Jonathan, your team didn't have a single offensive touchdown in the preseason.
Oh, and I hate to tell you this, I don't blame Sanchez for that one bit.
Wow.
I watched games where he put that in the chest of Santonio Holmes, Stephen Hills, and Dustin Keller, and they dropped it. It was like they had butter all over their hands.
Well, they better get their act together, honestly.
No, but they do. But if it's not, I have a feeling a lot of changes, especially Rex Ryan is going to be one of them.
Well, Phil, despite his claims the other day, well, hey, they're not going to fire me. There's no way they would fire me.
Yeah, they will. Listen, Woody Johnson wants to win. He ain't stupid. He ain't going to keep investing money in a team that's losing. So
the mouth that roared. The mouth that roared.
It's I hate to say it. And listen, the Jets have had some pretty damn good quarterbacks. Coaches. You know, Herman Edwards was a great coach. Unfortunately, I don't know. It seems they got good players, but it's always the underdog players. I'm waiting for them to get that one big star that's going to come out and really lead New York to their second Super Bowl.
So you're over there this year secretly hoping Phil Rivers has a bad season in San Diego.
No, I'm not. I'm not, because I love Mark Sanchez. I think Mark Sanchez is a class act. I think he's a very good quarterback. I'm not going to say he's a great quarterback. I think he's a little bit better than average. But unfortunately, every time a wide receiver makes a mistake, the bandwagon just jumps right on Mark Sanchez.
That's true.
So I'm sorry, but how many times can you put a pass into the chest or into the hands of a receiver, them drop it, and it being your fault? I'm sorry. I saw a lot of that this preseason, and I think most of the criticism he's been getting over the last 6-7 months, I hate to say it, I think it was unfair. You know, some quarterbacks have great seasons, some quarterbacks have amazing seasons, and they go and have a bad one, and oh no, it's okay because they had some good seasons before that. Mark Sanchez led them to two AFC championship games in his rookie and in his sophomore years. Come on.
Well, listen, I liked the guy when he first started out, but I got to be honest, in the past couple of years, I've been completely unimpressed. I've been Romo unimpressed. Let's get it straight. I mean, that's kind of where I kind of take those two quarterbacks and put them together.
Would be nice.
You know.
Would be nice. Unfortunately, I think Sanchez is going to have a shorter shelf life in New York than Romo's going to have in Dallas, unfortunately. So
I would agree.
We're Cowboys fans.
But that's the New York media. That's your New York media, so.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I think most of the circus was based on the New York media this year, and I said that at the Frat House NFL show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. But guess what? It's that time to end the show. I just want to thank everybody who listened, and good luck to all your NFL teams this season. Lots of health to your players, and if you bet money, I hope you win lots of it. And don't forget, send some our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mike.
We're going to keep track of these. We're going to keep track of these predicts. And,
absolutely, absolutely.
Report back, and next week I'll be leading.
Yes, we'll definitely talk about who has the points, and I have a feeling it's going to be Mike. All right, everybody. But for Jonathan Ragus and Mike McShane, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again Friday.
You got it, man.